Brendan O'Connor on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Sign up to our loyalty programme and reap the rewards at Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
Brendan O'Connor on RTE Radio 1.
You're all very welcome back. Well, it's time for the watch list now, where we give you the definitive list of shows and movies to watch out for the week ahead. And you'll have heard them cackling in the background. I don't know what they've been up to, but TV and radio producer Owen Sweeney and Gráinne Humphreys, director of the Dublin International Film Festival, who normally... You normally dress the same, but I'm a little bit sort of confused today because you're dressed differently, but you're both very welcome.
We're in a WhatsApp group where we send each other our outfits before we come in.
Okay, let us start with cinema this week. Owen, F1 is the big one this week, starring Brad Pitt and our very own Kerry Condon. And what's the starty?
Yes, it's out this week. Now, I haven't seen it, so I will say that. But to bring you up to speed, very simply, it's a bit of a Rocky at the racetrack, this one. Brad Pitt, you know, the legend that is, acting legend, is something of a, could have been, and almost was, racing driver. He was racing Formula 1 in the 1990s. He gets injured in a horrific crash, etc. So now he's racing off track, or, you know, other events, etc., etc. He's working as a taxi driver. But Javier Bardem is a team owner and he wants him back on the scene to mentor this young rising star, both of whom are available on your televisions right now in a commercial for a certain non-alcoholic beverage, which, you know, questionable enough anyway. But there you go. So F1, it's furthering the franchise in the United States of America, is it not? They had their Las Vegas Grand Prix there for the first time a couple of years ago. I'm not a racing expert. It's 2.5 hours long, which is a bit like watching a Formula 1 race. Kerry Condon's in it, Javier Bardem's in it, Brad Pitt's in it, and Damson Idris is Joshua Noah Pearce, who is the bright young thing of motor
hot
racing.
Hot shot rookie who drives.
Exactly, a hot shot rookie who drives. You should do the voiceover.
I should do the voiceover. Gráinne, The Last Journey has been in cinemas since Friday, is it?
Yeah, I mean, I love this. This is a Swedish documentary, and on, I suppose, paper, it's, you know, it's a kind of father and son. Father is a French teacher of 40 years, retires, and then finds it difficult to get out of the armchair, you know. And then the son goes, what can I do to get you to embrace life? You know, do something with all that time that you have and all that kind of, well, what used to be the kind of energy that drove him. And the driving part is the piece that happens. They decide that they will get into the car and they will drive back to the beloved French retreat, this city where he used to go to on holiday. And so the film is The Last Journey, and it is filled with laughter and tears. And what is a simple story, just because the son tries so desperately to make the father kind of like re-engage, he kind of recreates moments that brought joy to him in his past. So it's really simple, but it just works. And I've seen it. We showed it in the festival and the audience just literally, it's just a love-in. It's this wonderful sense of a film that just connects with an audience and a story that just makes you want to, you know, jump out of the cinema and ring your parents.
Oh, a story well told. Owen, you've seen Elio. We actually mentioned this last week, but we didn't get a chance really to dig into it. This is a wee boy who becomes an intergalactic ambassador of planet Earth.
Well, and
I
why wouldn't
the premise
he?
Of these films.
This is it's inspired by the director and co-writer's actual life story growing up on a military base, which I imagine is quite isolating. Dealing with youthful alienation with literally an alien nation or United Nations of aliens. Look, there's great characters in this. It's really one for the child in this is 11, so it's really one's for the less cynical 8 to 10, 11 year old age group before they get too wizened and too critical of things. It ups the cute factor. There's plenty of colourful aliens. The bad guys are in these mechanised suits, but turns out they're quite cute themselves. There's very little danger, very little peril. It touches on the kind of the likes of, which we'll all remember, Gráinne, myself anyway, and yourself no doubt, Close Encounters and those great kind of sci-fi movies of the 80s. The auntie raises the child. He's isolated. He doesn't really have very many friends. He's obsessed with aliens. He communicates with aliens and the story ensues. And it's a happy ending.
Yeah, but it was inspired by his own childhood growing up on a military base.
Absolutely,
which is really interesting. Gráinne, The Way We Talk, it's a film from Hong Kong. You love this? I think you did love this.
I absolutely loved it. And again,
did you
it's
love it
one
growing?
Of the, I did. Yeah. But again, coming from kind of a somewhat of a surprise, it was a film that I watched for viewing for the festival. And it's a story of three young teenagers, Hong Kong teenagers, all of whom are deaf. But one of them has decided to become a kind of advocate for cochlear implants. Mm-hmm. And that causes a kind of break with his two friends. And so the other two...
The conflict about being able to hear or not being able to hear.
And the ISL versus cochlear implant, mm-hmm. and the debates. But it's also a story about three young people. There's a kind of potential romance that kind of threads through them. Maybe a little bit of a flicker to something like Jules Jim. It's brilliantly told, and it's so rare to see, I think, a film like this with this subject at its heart that does it in a way that isn't patronising but is genuinely kind of very engaging and quite beautiful. And the acting is also fantastic. And it's a limited release, so it's not going to be easy to find, but well worth searching out and going to.
The Owen, season three of The Bear, divided opinion. And yet we have a season four.
We do. Now, everyone loved The Bear on Disney Plus. It's set in a restaurant. It's got this very overqualified chef who comes back and takes over his brother's sandwich shop and then turns it into a fine dining experience. All 30 episodes to date are up online. The next 10 will drop, as they say, on Thursday. Seasons three and four, however, one and two, everyone loved. By and large, season three and four were shot back to back. Season three, as you say, divided opinions, probably being nice. Season three, largely pilloried by those who loved it. If you love food, you know, you'll buy into this.
But does it show the strain of, you know, A, maybe not knowing if another series is going to get commissioned and then trying to just get the most out of a franchise? Does that strain kind of show?
Well, I think, and it's a crossover Grainne's world of film here as well, the three main principal actors have all been off doing other things, you know, from Inside Out 2 to portraying Bruce Springsteen. So, you know, that trailer, quote unquote, dropped this week as well. So, and Ayo Edebiri is doing 101 things as well. And, look, it suffered from them having extracurricular projects. They were all off. We got a lot of backstory, a lot of individual stories of the main characters. They weren't together enough. There was lots of sumptuous food photography, but 40 minutes of it with barely any dialogue. Save me. You know, lots of cameos and all that, but they need to bring them all back together. They need to resolve it. I'd say they need to leave it where it is now because they've all gone off to other things in their real lives.
Grainne, one thing we don't tire of, it seems, are pure dramas. And The Gilded Age is also back with season three. It's a big show. It's Sky.
It's a it's a HBO film, yeah, but it'll be on our TV show that'll be on Sky. It's actually everything that you've said, this is the opposite, right? So this took possibly two seasons to get to know where it was going. It's written by Julian Fellowes, who from Downton Abbey to Gosford Park, you know, this is his world, right? It's got a brilliant cast. And I
very female centric.
It is very, it's really funny that you say that because it was when I was driving in, I was thinking it's all about the three C's. So you have Christine Baranski, Cynthia Nixon, who play sisters, and they are literally sweet and sour. And the interplay between them is fantastic. And I mean, nobody like Christine Baranski could do a mic drop moment, right? But for me, Carrie Coon, who plays Bertha Russell, who is the new money as opposed to the sister's old money. And it's really the feud or conflict between the two of them, the two households that live across from them. But Carrie Coon's character, she established an opera house in season two. This is the kind of standard we're at. It's not just, you know, the good dinner party. In the third season, she is trying to marry off her daughter. And it's all about how can she actually find the right appropriate husband of the appropriate status for her. It is breathtakingly enjoyable.
For her, for the daughter.
For everybody. I mean, they say winning in business and winning in society are linked. And she sees that. And meanwhile, everyone has taken her eye off the husband who is also, their relationship is fascinating. But he's gone off to decide to create a railway that crosses the continent of America. And so he is getting them into financial difficulty without telling the wife. And meanwhile, she is promising all their money to potential suitors. So it's gripping. I mean, to the point where I literally had to stop and leave to come in here today. And I went, oh, thank God, I can go home to watch the rest. I can find out what happens. It's great. And it's coming on the 23rd. So
23rd.
Really, really. And for those who were a bit switched off by the first couple, give it a second chance.
This Thursday, Owen, Channel 4 Pushers, it has quite a provocative premise?
This is Rosie Jones, and she's co-written this with Peter Fellows, whose work people will know, who devoured Veep, that excellent satirical political program of a number of years back. It's on Channel 4. Rosie Jones, as we know, is a stand-up comedian. You'd be familiar if you don't know her. Out and out comedy for her appearances on panel shows. She has cerebral palsy. The premise of this show is better so far than The Execution, I would argue, but there's room for improvement, and that's not no bad thing. Basically, she's a young woman. She works, or she volunteers with a local charity, which is quirky enough. She has benefits from the Department of Work and Pensions there, then halved, or at least kind of mercilessly decimated. She does very poorly in the reapplication interview because she's not, some might say, disabled enough, you know, in the eyes of more able-bodied people. So she meets an old school friend who then...
Which is obviously a big tension.
Oh, no, absolutely. Yeah, she meets an old school friend and the school friend goes, oh, I thought you were dead. Do you know, she goes, no, that was another disabled person. Oh, that sort of dark humour that Rosie Jones is bringing to the table.
Because it came out of it, it was initially a comedy.
It was a comedy short on Channel 4. So it's very Channel 4. It's quite edgy. It is edgy. Basically, the premise then pushes, your man is a bit of a drug dealer, he realises that she is basically invisible and to the greater public. So what better way to shift drugs around housing estates, etc., than using someone with a disability? And she signs up because she's basically broken. Final demands are coming through the door. They're going to deal, no doubt, with the serious aspect of pushing drugs, etc., etc. But there's quite funny self-deprecating humour. At one point she says, one of her chat-up lines, I think, was, I'm the offspring of Stephen Hawking. And that is her joke, which, you know, is quite funny. You know,
so it's
that sort of, it's that sort of humour, but it is, in terms of representation, very Channel 4 and very necessary. In terms of humour, perhaps a bit too broad in parts and too much slapstick.
Gráinne, the second half of the Sky series, David Frost Versus, is but the obviously these are archive interviews from David Frost. Is he, who's he talking to in the second instalment? Is it worth a view?
It's very, I mean, I love this. This is absolutely, to my mind, is that, you know, you just sit down and smile. So, I mean, in a way, the first one is Richard Nixon. Which, you know, with Frost Nixon, I feel like we all feel like we know that story, but this goes backwards into showing the, if you like, the behind the scenes of the interview. And Michael Sheen comments on it as well, which is kind of fab. And Elton John. The Elton John one is really good.
Really worth a look. And there's loads that I didn't get to, as always. But thank you very much. TV and radio producer Owen Sweeney and Gráinne Humphreys, director of the Dublin International Film Festival, thank you for joining us. And you can listen back to all of the conversations from today's show on the RT Radio app or wherever you get your podcast. Today's show was produced by Alan Turney. The series producer is Tessa Delahanty. Research was by Jennifer Gannon. Senan Cullinan was the broadcast coordinator and Mark McGrath was in sound. Stay tuned for This Week with Mary Wilson and thanks for joining us.
Brendan O'Connor on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Breathe easier this summer. Speak to us today about allergy relief at Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.